Welcome to Along the Way, a Writer's Odyssey. This is a podcast for aspiring writers and lovers of speculative fiction. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker. You may know me from my RPG podcast, Game Master's Journey, or my YouTube channel, Starwalker Studios, where I produce RPG actual play videos, tutorial videos, and discussion videos. You may know me from some of my other podcasting projects or my website, starwalkerstudios.com, or you just may know me, or you may not know me at all. It's all good. It's all cool. Whatever. So I've been a podcaster now for, I don't know, over 4 years, I think, and listened to podcasts for at least a few years before that. But before I was a podcaster and before I even listened to podcasts, I was a writer, or at least I was an aspiring writer. We'll talk about that more later. But I've pretty much been a writer for as long as I can remember. I remember the first story I ever wrote was in elementary school. I don't remember which grade. It was pretty early, probably maybe third grade. I don't know. But I remember I wrote some story about Snoopy, the dog from the Charlie Brown cartoons. Snoopy went on some kind of fantastic journey on his doghouse, which he would pretend was a biplane. And Snoopy went on some adventure. In fact, now as I speak about it, first time I've thought about this in a long time, I remember now that actually the story started with a Snoopy lunchbox that my main character, who was really me, I think, opened. And when he opened his Snoopy lunchbox, he was transported to a magical place where Snoopy was a real character. So that was the first story I wrote. I remember my teachers being impressed with it. I remember my parents being impressed with it. But seeing as I was a little kid in elementary school, I mean, what does that really mean, right? My parents probably would have been impressed with any sentences I chained together. And as for my teachers, I mean, I don't know. Who knows how discerning they were as far as readers, especially when it came to things written by small children. But that was the beginning. I've always been a lover of what we call speculative fiction, specifically sci-fi. I have always loved sci-fi from my earliest memories. I remember loving the original Star Trek and watching that every chance I got. Wasn't until really middle school years, I think around seventh or eighth grade, that I really started to get into fantasy. And that began, I think, like a lot of people, with The Hobbit. That was actually not the first fantasy book I read, but that was the one I read that made me want to go find more books like it. And I started reading fantasy, but I read a lot as a kid. I grew up in rural Indiana. We had a tiny little library in my hometown, and this was before the internet. And so getting a hold of books was not easy, and I ended up reading a lot of older books. I read a lot of books growing up that weren't really, quote, for me, just because there were so few books to choose from that I had to read what there was to read. I read every Hardy's book ever written at that point. I believe the pen name was Franklin W. Dixon. Crazy that I still remember that. He started publishing new Hardy Boy books when I was in middle school, and I only read the first few of those. But all the original ones I read all the Nancy Drew books. I read all the Bloodhound Gang books. There are some other series. The Bobbsey Twins, I read all those. There are some other series of books where the protagonists solve mysteries similar to the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, etc., that I also read that I can't remember the name of. I remember one involving kids who hung out in a junkyard. They had like a secret base that they'd created in a junkyard, and they solve crimes together. Actually, in late middle school, early high school, read some romances, again, just because I didn't have anything else to read. I read some historical fictions, but more and more, I read as much as I could science fiction and then fantasy fiction. So I've always been reading. High school, I took a stab at terrible poetry and wrote lots and lots of that. Thankfully, I don't think any of it has survived. I think it's all in landfills now, which is where that poetry deserves to be. And then as I got into college, with all the free time I had in college, that's sarcasm there. I did some writing in college too. I wrote some stories. I took a couple stabs at novels. One of which I got pretty far on. It was kind of a modern day fairy tale, sort of, somewhat inspired and somewhat based on a role playing game called Changeling the Dreaming that I was really into at the time. And to date, that was the longest thing I'd ever written. I don't remember what the word count was, but it was quite a few meaty chapters. And it was the longest thing I'd written. And then, you know, changed majors a few times in my college career, and just college itself and life and work and all those things kept me very busy. And writing kind of fell to the back burner until, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. It's hard to say without spending a bunch of time trying to figure it out. I got into writing again and started writing my first novel in earnest. And I think I had a moment that I've heard a lot of other aspiring writers and published writers have had or have said they'd had, where I was reading a book that was not very good and thinking to myself, I can do better than this, or at the very least I can do as well as this. And so I started writing again. I finished that novel. So that was the first novel I ever finished, and actually started revising it, doing a second draft. I think I finished the second draft before I gave up on that project, because the novel was just really unoriginal, really derivative. And I felt, even with a lot of time spent on it, ultimately probably unpublishable. And about that time, I met my wife. Well, my soon-to-be wife. I moved a few times, eventually moved across the country to the Seattle, Washington area, and kind of fell out of writing again. And recently, I've come to realize in the last few years, I've actually done... Well, even then, I guess I never really stopped writing. It's something I've recently realized, because about the time I stopped writing fiction, I started a blog. At the time I was playing a game you might have heard of called EVE Online. And EVE Online is an incredibly complex MMO, or at least it was back then. I haven't played it in years. So I started a blog of tutorial articles for new players like me of EVE, and basically passing on what I learned in the game. And that blog's still out there. If you want to check it out, it's called EVE A to Z. And that's just EVE A to Z, EVEATOZ at blogspot.com. It's still up there. You can go read it. And every once in a blue moon, I go to that site just to see if it still gets traffic. And it still is getting traffic. So I'm sure the game has changed a lot since I stopped playing it. But it seems at least somebody out there is still finding value in all of those articles that I wrote, which is awesome. I wrote for some other blogs. Some I actually got paid to write for. I got an article published in Eon Magazine, which is the official print magazine for EVE Online, the MMO I was just talking about. And since then, in more recent years, I've done a lot of writing for my podcast, because I write a lot of those episodes out. Started a new blog on my new website, StarWalkerStudios.com, where I've posted a variety of articles, many of them about RPG I was going to say RPG gaming, but that's kind of redundant. But anyway, about tabletop RPGs. And I've also more recently in the past year or year and a half, 2 years, I've been doing a lot of writing for a homebrew setting, a world I'm building to run my D&D games in called Primordia. And I have a massive world document that I've been working on for that. I recently started a new D&D campaign, and for that, I worked up a player's guide. So there's a lot of writing in that. I've just this last year, I published a module or an adventure for Dungeons & Dragons called The Trickster's Labyrinth. I self-published that and have sold quite a few copies of that. Already have sold more than I thought I would. But of course, not as many as I'd like to sell or as I hoped I'd sell, but definitely more than I realistically thought I would. So there have been some lulls here and there in my life, but for the most part, since I learned to read, since I learned to write, I've been a writer. So like I said, I used to do a lot of writing, did a lot of writing in high school, did a lot of writing in college, did a lot of writing in the year, I think, before I met the woman who is now my wife. Long story short, I had a really bad breakup in a long-term relationship I'd been in for a couple years, I think. And we were engaged, and that went down the toilet and kind of went through a pretty rough time after that. And it was during that I returned to writing. And it was also during that time that I really started getting in the podcasts. And in those early days, when I first started listening to podcasts, all the podcasts I listened to were actually writing podcasts, because I started out with writing excuses. So if you're listening to this podcast, I imagine you've probably heard of writing excuses. You probably know what that podcast is. But in case you don't know what that podcast is, that is a writing podcast. It's hosted, at the time when it started, it was hosted by Brandon Sanderson, Howard Taylor, and Dan Wells. And in recent years, they've added Mary Robinette Kowal to the roster as well. And then in their most recent season, they've added some more authors as well as hosts of the podcast. I kind of found writing excuses through a kind of roundabout way. My favorite, like I said, as I got into high school, I got really into fantasy. I read a lot of fantasy, all the fantasy I could really get my hands on. Read a lot of the official D&D books that were published by TSR at the time, Dragonlance books, Forgotten Realms books, Ravenloft books, Dark Sun books, all that good stuff. And also read more independent stuff, like the Shannara books, the David Eddings books. I read the Deathgate Cycle by Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman, which I really enjoyed. But hands down, my favorite fantasy series of all time is The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan. And the kind of roundabout way that I got the writing excuses is the podcast. And indeed, it was that got me in the podcast, was the fact that Robert Jordan, the man was writing my favorite fantasy books, unfortunately died, and found out that this author I'd never heard of named Brandon Sanderson had been chosen to finish the series. So I started doing research into Brandon Sanderson, see who this guy is that's going to be writing the rest of the Wheel of Time books, and started researching him. Found out he was an author of pretty well-regarded fantasy series called the Mistborn series. So I read those books, really enjoyed them, got on Brandon's mailing list. And it was around this time that I found out that he made a podcast. So I'm like, I'd just gotten it. What were they? It was an iPod. It was one of the little ones, iPod Mini or something like that. I'd just gotten an iPod for Christmas. And I was looking for things to listen to on my iPod. And I was like, oh, well, I can get podcasts on here. I'll get this Writing Excuses. And so Writing Excuses was, I'm pretty sure, the first podcast I listened to. And that got me into wanting to write again. And it was a way to kind of get away from my problems and my shitty life at the time. And so I started writing like a fiend, and I started listening to every writing podcast I could find. Unfortunately, that was long enough ago that most of the writing podcasts I listened to at the time are no longer around, or at least they're no longer producing new episodes. And I'm not going to sit here and recommend a bunch of podcasts to you that aren't producing new content anymore. However, a couple of my favorite writing podcasts I listened to way back when are still producing new and fresh episodes. And that includes Writing Excuses, as well as the podcast I Should Be Writing by Murr Lafferty. So as I said, I moved across the country, been doing other things, and although I've never really stopped writing, it has been quite a while since I've written fiction. So I've yet again gotten to a point in my life where I want to focus on writing more again, and I want to get back into writing fiction. And I'm not ready to write another novel yet. I'm not ready to sink so much time into one project. And I still have a lot to learn as a writer. So I decided that I would focus to begin with on writing shorter forms of fiction, short stories, novelettes, novellas, things like that. Because A, it's less of a commitment for each project because it's a shorter story. And B will let me explore more ideas where, you know, a novel, I get to explore, you know, one or a few connected ideas, but that's it for the time it takes to write a novel, during which time I could probably write a dozen short stories. So I can explore more ideas. I can try different techniques, try different writing styles and points of view and things like that. And try writing shorter fiction, which I really haven't done in a long time. So As I've been getting back up to speed in writing and doing a lot more reading as part of that, starting to listen to all my writing podcasts again as part of that, I got the idea to produce this show that you're listening to right now. Now, you can probably tell already, this is a pretty much or a fairly off the cuff, on the fly kind of show. This isn't heavily scripted. It's probably not going to be heavily edited. It's more just me talking to you about what's going on in my writing life. And I hope that this can be kind of a chronicle of my journey as a writer, starting out where I am now and going wherever it leads me. Hopefully, ultimately, to publishing lots of stories that people buy and read and enjoy. I also hope that producing this show will serve to help motivate me to write more than I do and more than I have. And also as a way to kind of hold me accountable because, you know, one of the things I struggle with as a writer is finding the time to write and then actually using that time to write. It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy for other things to come up that seem to take precedence. And it's so easy to make excuses, especially when the only person you answer to is yourself. So maybe if I put out a podcast where I talk about my writing, it will help keep my feet to the fire and keep me writing in a way that if no one knew what I was doing, wouldn't happen. And I also hope that it will be entertaining and encouraging for you, other aspiring writers out there. So I mentioned Murr Lafferty's podcast, I Should Be Writing, and I find her show very inspiring, and if you haven't listened to it, I really recommend you check it out. And if you like what you hear at all, I really recommend you go back in her archives and go in the Wayback Machine and listen to the older episodes. Because when Murr started that show, she was in a position similar to where I am now, where she was an aspiring writer, which is to say an aspiring published professional writer. I mean, she was already a writer, obviously, but she wanted to become published. She wanted to do that for her career, and her podcast, I Should Be Writing, is her journey. And since she's been producing that show, she has been published numerous times. She is a well-known writer who's been nominated for awards and who's won awards, I believe, and she's quote made it, I think. And it's really cool to have this podcast that she continues to make, even now that she's, quote, made it. That's this very down-to-earth podcast about the many struggles she went through on this journey. Among them, you know, dealing with, you know, writer's block and not knowing what to write about and discouragement of rejections from submissions and everything else. You know, if you're a writer yourself or you've heard many writers talk, you probably know that it can be a very difficult endeavor, especially if you're trying to get published and you're sending manuscripts out and things like that. The other thing I find really inspiring about her show is that she is so open and frank and honest about what's going on inside of her head and inside of her heart. And to me, that's been the most inspirational thing about it, because, you know, she has bad days just like I do. She struggles with depression just like I do. But she still writes and she still gets it done and she's still successful. So when I'm having a bad day, when I'm suffering from depression and can't seem to find the energy to write or whatever, it's really helpful to me to see an example of someone who's having the same struggles, maybe worse, probably worse, and it's still getting it done and being successful. So it's very inspirational. If this show can be that for somebody someday, that would be awesome. I might be aiming a little high, but that would be awesome if that happened. So I really appreciate how she kind of lets her hair down on her show. And listening to it recently, I realized with the possible exception of the patron cast that I used to produce for patrons, I've never really had a show like that. Every podcast I've produced has been very focused in its subject matter. And I've always done a really good job, I think, of staying on topic. So Game Master's Journey is a podcast about being a GM and running role-playing games. And that's what I talk about. And it's very rare that I talk about something other than that. And even when I do, it's usually relevant in some way. Now, this is going to be a show about writing. So, you know, I'm going to be talking about things that are related to writing, but I think I'm going to take a page from Ms. Lafferty's playbook and open it up not to just actual writing, but things that affect my writing, like my mood or my health or what's going on in my life. Now, I'm not going to give you my life story. I'm not going to give you all the sordid details of my life that probably no one cares about, but I will talk about the struggles that I deal with as a writer and share that with you in the hopes that maybe my show can be an inspiration to people, much as Mer Lafferty's show has been an inspiration to me. And it will be nice to have a show where I can kind of let my hair down a little bit more and have a freer rein to talk about the various things that are on my mind. I can also use this show to keep you, the listener, up to date with what I'm currently working on. And I also hope that this will ultimately be a way that I can connect with other writers out there and other aspiring writers out there that we can all learn from one another. Now, at least to begin with, I'm just going to see where this goes. I'm just going to, you know, going by the seat of my pants here. So I'm not going to be concerned or commit to a regular defined release schedule as far as episodes of this podcast. I will produce and release episodes as I have the time to do so and when I have something to say. So when both those things are true, I'll make a new episode. So that could be once a month, it could be once a week, or even more or less often. Who knows? We'll see. I mean, the last thing I need right now is another huge time sink. I'm trying to balance my various jobs I have, my family commitments, my gaming and my podcasts I produce and my YouTube channel, as well as, you know, all the other things in life, as well as being a writer and writing and submitting and reading. It's a lot to manage. So the last thing I need is something else to take time away from writing. So I'm going to be very diligent not to let this become that. But I think, you know, if I keep the episodes relatively short and I'm not spending a ton of time writing and editing them. I'm more just kind of being real with you that it shouldn't take a bunch of time. So like I said, the writing will come first. That has priority over this podcast. But as I have time and as I have something to say, I'll produce this show. So like I said, this show will likely evolve over time. I don't even know at this point what it's going to turn into. I have some inspirations of other writing podcasts that I really enjoy that I will pull from. Now, writing excuses is like going to writing school. Every show they discuss a topic and they're teaching you how to be a better writer. I don't know that I'm the person to teach you how to be a better writer. I don't know that I have the experience or credentials for that. I guess I'll let my work speak for itself, but I can share what I learn with you. But unlike so many of my other podcasts I've produced, my goal with this isn't primarily to teach you, the listener, things or as an instructional podcast. It's more of writers talking about writing, but maybe it will turn into that. Maybe, especially as I meet other writers who know a lot more than me, who maybe can come on the show and talk to you, maybe it can become more instructional in the future. But for right now, I'm just going to kind of let it be whatever it wants to be and just kind of go with the flow with this show. You know, one of my challenges as a writer is time management. So I have to be careful not to let other things take over, and I get carried away with things like this podcast and I'm not writing. So I have to be careful. But I think that the benefits of doing this show are worth the time that it will take to do it. So I've said a few times now that I'm an aspiring writer and that this is a show for aspiring writers, which it is. But I mean, really, that term isn't really accurate, right? I mean, I'm already a writer. You probably are too, unless you just today decided you want to become a writer and you've never written before. But unless that's the case, you're already a writer, most likely. So what I really mean is that I'm an aspiring published writer, which actually I'm already a published writer. So I guess really what I'm saying is I'm an aspiring professional writer, someone who not only gets paid to write words, but who is able to, get by, based on that income to where that can be kind of what I do. That can be my career is writing. So as I said, I am technically a published writer. I've been published in a magazine. I've been published on numerous blogs. And I've self-published and sold an RPG module, but none of those were fiction. I mean, the RPG module had some fiction in it, but none of those were stories. None of those were fiction. So that's new territory for me. Now, I'm sure I'm eventually going to tackle another novel. I mean, novels are my favorite things to read. So I'm sure one day that's what I'll be doing. But like I said, for now, I'm going to focus on learning and practicing the shorter forms, namely short stories, novelettes, and novellas. Now, I don't have a lot of experience with these, not only writing them, but even reading them. So, you know, the first step or one of the first steps here is I need to read a lot more of this stuff. Specifically, I need to read a lot more short stories, novelettes, and novellas that are fantasy, science fiction, and or science fantasy, because those are the genres and the types of stories I'm interested in writing. So, you know, part of that is just to see how it's done, to see how these stories are crafted and how they work. And the more examples I read, the more of an intuitive grasp I'll have of that and the more I'll learn. But part of it is also sort of like market research to see what types of stories are being published right now? What are people writing stories about right now? And so I've started trying to expose myself to more short fiction. So one thing I can talk about on the show is what I'm currently reading. So in my efforts to expand my experience with shorter fiction, I'm currently reading the current issues of the Magazine of Science Fiction and Fantasy, Asimov's, and Analog. So these are three genre magazines that publish short fiction. They come out every other month. And so I've been reading the current issues of those, and also going to be getting every year there are short story collections from stories that won Hugos and were nominated for Hugos and things like that. So I'll be picking those up as well. So any good short story collections or anthologies that I can find. So just reading as much as I can read. As far as other things I've been reading, I've just finished the First Law trilogy by Joe Abercrombie. So I just finished the last book of that about a week ago. I recently read through Xanathar's Guide to Everything, which is a source book for Dungeons & Dragons. And I hope in the near future to start reading Ancillary Justice by Anne Leckie. I know I'm way behind the curve on that one. I'm hoping to be reading that soon. The library has it. I'm just waiting to get through this pile of short fiction before I start that. Because I don't know if this is weird or not, but I'm a person where I only read one thing at a time. So like my wife, she'll have like three different novels that she's reading at one time. I don't do that. I start reading a novel, I finish it before I start something else. And usually I don't even, like if I'm in the middle of a novel, I don't even want to read short fiction until I finish that novel. So, you know, I'm going to get through all this short fiction I have to read before I start Ancillary Justice, because I'm afraid once I start Ancillary Justice, I'm not going to read anything else until I finish Ancillary Justice. And I really need to be reading short fiction right now. I just subscribed to the Magazine of Fantasy and Science Fiction and Asimov's, which are definitely my favorite two of the three. So I'm going to be getting those, I think, every other month to read as well. So I got to keep up on those. So, like I said, you know, this is going to be kind of a freeform thing, this show, but I think at the very least, I can talk about what I've been reading and also what I'm writing, what I'm working on right now. So as far as what I'm writing, I'm actually at this moment, I'm not writing anything. It sounds really bad, right? Hopefully by the next episode, I'll have something to say that I'm writing. I have started brainstorming ideas for short stories, novelettes, or novellas. So I've started just making a list of as many ideas as I can think of stories that I think I might be interested in writing. And then once I have a good sized list, I'll pick one and I'll start writing it. I'm also been working on that Player's Guide to Primordia that I mentioned. I'd basically written the thing, but I've been adding more to it, kind of fleshing it out. And I'm planning sometime in the near future to do some editing passes with it, which I haven't really done. I haven't done like a full edit of it. And see if there's enough there for publication. I've had some people who listen to my podcast and watch my YouTube videos asking me if, you know, there's any way they can get a hold of that. So once I have enough there that I think it's worth it, and people would be interested, I'll probably self-publish that. So I'll be working on that, but I need to be writing something new. So maybe that'll be my goal for the next episode of this show by then, to have something that I've either written or started writing at that point, I hope. So one last final thing before I leave you today. This is just kind of an introductory episode. But one last final thing before we wrap this up is just some thoughts that have been going through my head. And, you know, I mentioned the novel that I finished. And I mentioned that what got me into writing again at that time was reading some books that I didn't feel were very good and feeling like I can do this as well, if not better. A few of those books were actually Star Wars novels. I don't remember which novels or who wrote them, but they were very pedestrian, to put it nicely. But another one was actually a book you might have heard of called Twilight. Have you maybe heard of this book? So that kind of puts this in time for you. When this was happening was when Twilight was all the rage and it was everywhere. And they were putting the movies out at that time or starting to. And I read the first Twilight book, Twilight, just because everybody was reading it. So I kind of felt like I had to read it as a writer to see what everybody was talking about. And also because I've always been super into vampires and it was about vampires. So I read it. It was okay. and I think that's about the extent of the praise I can heap on it. The writing was not great. I'd like to know how many times the word awesome was used in that book. It was a lot. And that was that and some of those Star Wars books were definitely when I was having the moment of I could do this maybe even better, which I suppose is arrogant. You know, a lot of us have that experience and so many writers have said that's what got them into writing was reading something and thinking I can do this. And it's probably arrogant to think that when you're not a published writer and you're reading something that's been published, but it's how I felt at the time. And so actually my novel that I wrote was about vampires and was my attempt to, I mean, write about something I've always been into. I've always been super into vampires. They've always been my favorite monster. But also to write about something that at the time seemed to be super popular because everybody was going crazy about Twilight. And I remember it was when the movies came out because I remember I actually saw the first Twilight movie. And I remember I was writing my novel at the time that I saw that movie. And that was really the reason I saw the movie. I didn't really want to see the movie. I just saw it because I was like, well, I'm writing a vampire novel. I should see what goes on with this movie and, you know, just to see market research. Right. So, you know, we've had what, like the Vampire Diaries TV show since then. There's been other like, what's it called? Blade. It's about vampire. I mean, there's always been vampire movies like happening, right? It's always been there, but especially back then it seemed like it was all the rage. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I might have a better chance of publishing this novel if it's about something that everybody's into right now. Only problem with those fads is they don't last, right? So I wrote it, I finished it, and eventually, you know, I said earlier that I feel it's unpublishable. And the main reason I feel it's unpublishable is because I don't feel it's terribly original, and I feel it's somewhat derivative. Not derivative from Twilight, but derivative from previous vampire stories I've read, namely Bram Stoker's Dracula, and also from yet another role-playing game I used to play called Vampire the Masquerade, which is where I got a lot of my ideas of how vampires would work in the modern day. Also, I'd say somewhat inspired by Anne Rice's vampire novels, like Interview with the Vampire, The Vampire Lestat, and so on, which I've read all of those. So, yeah. And, you know, my wife has asked me in the years since so many times, like, why don't you clean that up and try to get it published? And I've always said, it's unoriginal, it's derivative. I would be ashamed for people to read it, for other professionals to read it, for editors or other writers to read it. And reading these short stories this month, I've read an entire issue of Fantasy and Science Fiction and an entire issue of Asimov's in like the last week, which is something like 20 or so short stories and then some novelettes and novellas. Reading all these stories in this past week has made me wonder about that. Does the fact that something I wrote that I feel it's derivative and unoriginal, does that mean it's not publishable? Does that even matter? And the reason is because so many, I mean, not all of them, but quite a few of these stories that I've read recently are, I would say, unoriginal and derivative. And we're talking short stories. So a short story is really kind of one idea usually, right? And let's make a story about this one idea. And when that one idea is something not remotely new or original, it makes me scratch my head. For instance, in just this few handfuls of short stories I've read in the last week, I read at least two or three or more that basically boil down to the idea of, hey, you know how on like YouTube you can thumbs up and thumbs down videos, or on you know, Facebook, you can like posts, or on Twitter, you can favorite things. You know, what if in the future society worked on a simple principle where people could just upvote and downvote other people? What if that's how our government worked? What if that's how social standing worked, right? So quite a few stories I've read in just the last week are based on that topic, which isn't a new idea. And I feel like I saw an episode of Dark Mirror. I can't remember what it's called. Something like that. You probably know what I'm talking about. I feel like I saw an episode of that was basically that. I feel like I saw at least one episode of recent seasons of Doctor Who that was that same idea. And also, I just saw an episode of brand new show The Orville that was playing with that same idea. So this isn't a new idea. This is an idea it seems like everybody's thought of. So why are editors buying stories that are really nothing more than a short exploration of this idea that isn't at all new or original? And I have to say, at least some of these stories weren't super well written, weren't super compelling, didn't have amazing characters. So it wasn't like, oh, well, this story is built on this really unoriginal idea, but it's such a fantastic story, we don't care. At least I didn't feel they were that fantastic. So all of this is not to bash some short stories, which I'm not going to name because that's not what I'm here to do. But my point is that maybe originality isn't as important as I've always thought it is. Maybe being unoriginal and derivative isn't by itself enough to make something unpublishable. Maybe my vampire novel is better than I think it is. I'm still not going to publish it, but maybe, you know, I don't know, just food for thought. So I'm kind of keeping that in mind as I brainstorm these ideas for stories, where in the past I would have scrapped any idea I felt like I'd seen before in a movie or a TV show or another book or a story. Now I'm not so concerned about that. I'm like, if it's an idea I'm excited about, it goes on the list. Now, maybe I won't choose it to write about, but it goes on the list. And also I'm at a point in my career right now where I'm more concerned with developing my craft. I'm more concerned with improving my skills as a writer. And I'm more concerned with starting some good habits of writing on a regular basis and producing on a regular basis. And, you know, just getting the words out there that I need to write to learn how to write. I'm more concerned about all that than writing something that I'm going to be able to sell somewhere. I feel like that comes later, right? Brandon Sanderson often talks about how he wrote something like 5 novels before he wrote one that was good enough to get published. And I've heard a lot of other authors say similar things, you know. So for me to think that my first novel I wrote is publishable would be the height of arrogance. And I know it's not true, but if I believe that would be the height of arrogance and would probably just show how little I know about writing and publishing. So luckily I know a little bit and I don't feel that way, but, you know, until I get to the level where I feel like I need to be at to be competitive in the marketplace, it's just writing stories just for practice, just to get, you know, that experience under my belt. And those stories don't need to be super original. They can be derivative. It doesn't matter. What matters right now is learning how to craft good stories, learning how to create interesting characters that you want to read about. And once I get that under control, then I can worry about coming up with a story that you've maybe never read before, if that's even possible. All right, well, that's going to do it for today for the first episode of this podcast, Along the Way, A Writer's Odyssey. If you'd like to get a hold of me, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at lexstarwalker@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at lexstarwalker, and you can check out my website, starwalkerstudios.com, where you can find my other podcasts and my blog, and check out my D&D module, The Trickster's Labyrinth, if you want to check that out. And where in the future, when I start self-publishing some stories, you'll be able to find those there as well. So thank you for enduring this first pilot episode of this show. Sorry, it's a bit of a rocky start, but I just wanted to get this done. And I think what I'm actually going to do is I may release this first to the patrons of Starwalker Studios just to see what they think, and may wait until I've actually produced another episode or two before I release it publicly for everybody else, just to make sure that I am going to have time to actually do this and that I am going to have things to talk about, because took me about a week of planning for this episode, and I feel like I've talked about everything I have to say at this point. So we'll see how long it is until I have something else to say. So thank you again for listening. Please reach out to me and let me know if you have any questions or comments or suggestions for future topics for this show. Thanks again for listening, and keep writing and keep reading.